Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi, with the Women's Initiative of the OU. My name is Dina Rabinovich, and I will be learning with you the Mizmorim composed by Asaf. Asaf composed a total of 12 Mizmorim. The first was Mizmor Nun. This is Mizmor Ayin Chet, and he will continue speaking through Mizmor Pei Gimel. When we tell a story, we must decide where we start the story, and that becomes one of the most important decisions we can make. For where we start the story determines the perspective. Next, we need to consider the end. Deciding on the end will determine what we want the story to teach us. Only then can we fill in the middle. What details do we want to include, and what do we leave out? What do we focus on, and what do we mention in passing? All of these decisions inform the ultimate objective. Why are we telling the story? What are we really saying? Mizmor Ayin Chet is a story. It is the second longest perek in Sefer Tehillim, and it is written in the form of a story that Asaf is telling Bnei Israel. And in order to understand the point of the story, we need to think about all of the above questions, plus one I didn't mention before. Who is the storyteller? Let us begin with the storyteller. In our case, the storyteller is Asaf, who, as we have seen in previous perekim, is one of the chief composers during the time of David HaMelech. But to understand the backstory of this perek, we need to delve a little more into why and when Asaf was appointed. David has just fought the battle against the Yevusim and conquered what will be later called Yerushalayim. He has built a fortress there and makes plans to transform this area into a national and religious capital. To establish Yerushalayim as a national capital, he moves his family from Hebron and builds a new house for them. To make Yerushalayim a religious capital, he moves the Aron from Kiryat Yearim and prepares to build the Beit HaMikdash. It has been over 400 years since Bnei Israel left Egypt, over 400 years since they received the commandment to build the Mikdash. There was nothing that David wanted more than the opportunity to build the Beit HaMikdash, a permanent dwelling place for God, a place where God's presence would reside in the midst of the nation. David has built himself a magnificent palace. He has defended his kingdom from outside attacks, and he wants to do something to honor God. David wants to build the Beit HaMikdash, and he wants to build it now. But Natan HaNavi tells David that it will be his son, Shlomo, who will be the one charged with building the Mikdash. So instead of building the Mikdash, David puts all of his energies into the preparations for building the Beit HaMikdash. He assembles the materials, he hires the workers, and he organizes the Kohanim and the Leviim into shifts. Part of organizing the Leviim was appointing Asaf in charge as one of the head Leviim who will oversee the singing. We have seen previous examples of Mizmorim that were composed by Asaf, Mizmorim in which Asaf rebukes Bnei Israel, chastises them, questions them, and exhorts them to mend their ways. Asaf speaks to them as individuals, he speaks to them as a community. In this Mizmor, a Maskil, which is a Mizmor that teaches a lesson, Asaf is telling a story designed to help Bnei Israel with their spiritual growth as they prepare to build the Beit HaMikdash, as they prepare to build a permanent home in which the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, will reside. Asaf is telling his story to help prepare Bnei Israel for what it will take spiritually to build the Beit HaMikdash, in the hopes that they can learn from mistakes in the past. He begins the story with the Dor HaMidbar, the generation who left Egypt, who witnessed Matan Torah, who participated in Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, who built the Mishkan, but who ultimately perished in the desert during the 40 years of wandering. Notice how Asaf describes them. Dor Sorer Umore, a wayward, rebellious generation. Dor Lo Hechin Libo, a generation that did not try to fix their heart to be righteous. Velone emna et el rucho, the generation that did not behave with loyalty to God. Asaf begs this generation, the generation preparing to build the Beit HaMikdash, lo yiyu ka'avotam, not to follow in the footsteps of their forefathers. Asaf reminds Bnei Israel of all that God did for them in the desert. Bakayam vayavirem, Hashem split the Yamsuf, which allowed Bnei Israel to cross through. Vayatsev maim kimoned, and he made the waters stand like a heap. Vayanchem be'anan yomam, Hashem guided them by day with a pillar of cloud. V'chol halayla be'or esh, and at night with a pillar of fire. Yevakat Surim Bamidbar, God split rocks in the middle of the desert, Vayash Ketehomot Rabbah, which gave forth copious amounts of water. Vayotzi Nozlim Misala, God brought out streams from a rock, Vayored Kenaharot Maim, and these streams flowed like rivers. Even before God brought Bnei Israel into the Midbar, the desert, he did many signs and miracles in Egypt. Notice a list of makot, of the plagues. Not all of them will be listed. Notice also some of the psukim that have become part of the Haggadah for the Seder night. Vayafoch ledam ye'orehem v'nozlehem bal yishtayon. He turned their rivers into blood, and they could not drink from the streams. Yeshalach bahem arov v'yochlem utzvardeya v'tashchitem. He sent the arov, swarms of animals, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. Vayiten lechasil yevulam v'giyam la'arbe. He gave their produce to the grasshoppers and locusts. Yaharog babarad gafnam v'shikmotam b'chanamal. He destroyed their vineyards with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. Vayasker labarad be'iram u'miknehem l'arshafim. He gave over their animals to hail, and their flocks to fiery bolts. Yeshalach bam charonapo evra v'zaam v'tzara mishlachat malachei ra'im. He sent the fierceness of his anger and wrath and indignation and troubles, a whole slew of evil messengers. Yefales nativ l'apo lochashach mimavet nafsham v'chayatam ladever hisgir. He leveled the path for his anger, not sparing their soul from death, and gave their lives to pestilence. Vayach kol bechor b'mitzrayim reshit onim b'ohalei cham. He killed all of the firstborn of Egypt, the firstfruits of their strength in the tents of Cham. In case you were wondering, the makot that are left out of this account are kinim, lice, shechin, the pestilence for people, and choshech, darkness. Though the word chashach, sparing, in the pasuk describing dever, the pestilence for animals, does have the same letters as choshech, darkness. He continues to explain what he did for Bnei Israel, what Hashem did for Bnei Israel in the desert. Vayasa katzon amo, vayenahagem ka'eder bamidbar. Caused his nation to journey like sheep, guiding them like a flock in the desert. V'yanchem lavetach v'lo fachadu v'et oyvehem kisa hayam. He led them safely, they had no fear. He covered their enemies in the sea. Kriyat Yamsuf. V'yeviyem el gvul kotsho harze kanta yemino. He brought them to his holy border, to this mountain which his right hand had acquired. God did all of these miracles to punish the Egyptians and to make sure that Bnei Israel were safe and secure. What do Bnei Israel do in return? V'libam lo nachonimo v'lo ne'emnu bivrito. Their heart was not steadfast, true to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. V'yenasu v'yamru et Elokim elyon v'edotav lo shamaru. They tested and rebelled against God and did not observe his laws. Problems weren't limited to the time in the Midbar, in the desert. Even when they entered into the land of Israel, Bnei Israel continued to test God. V'yachisuhu v'vmotam u'v'fsilehem yakni'uhu. They angered him with their bamot and aroused his jealousy with their idols. There is more to this mizmor than a history lesson with an implied warning. Don't make the same mistakes again. There's also a rationale why the tribe of Yehuda, and specifically the family of David, was chosen to be the leaders. V'yim'as be'ohel Yosef u'b'shevet Ephraim lo bachar. He abandoned the tent of Yosef and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. Vayvchar et shevet Yehuda et har Tzion asher ahev. And he chose the tribe of Yehuda, the mountain of Tzion, which he loved. Vayeven kemo ramim mikdasho ke'eretz yesada le'olam. And he built his mikdash like the heights. Vayvchar b'David avdo avikachehu mimichlot tzon. And he chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep holds. In addition to learning why David was chosen, we learn something new, that Shevet Yosef, Shevet Ephraim, was not chosen, implying that they were supposed to be. What happened? First, let's see the references to Shevet Ephraim. Ephraim is one of Yosef's sons, and specifically to the city of Shiloh, where the Mishkan was placed by Yehoshua when he finished conquering the land of Israel. The end of Sefer Shoftim and the beginning of Sefer Shmuel describes specific low points in the lives of Bnei Israel. They were worshipping idols, they had fought a civil war, they were desecrating the Korbanot and the Mishkan. As a result, they lost several major battles to the Plishtim, in which thousands and thousands of people died. the Aron was taken into captivity, and the city of Shiloh was destroyed. Vayitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Ohel Shiken Ba'adam. He abandoned the Mishkan of Shiloh, the tent which he made to dwell amongst men. Vayiten Leshevi Uzo V'Tifarto B'Yad Tsar. He delivered his strength, his Aron, into captivity, his splendor into the hands of the oppressor. Note, the Aron will be in the hands of the Plishtim for 7 months before it is returned to Bnei Israel. Vayasker lacherev amo v'nachalato hitabar. He gave his people over to the sword. His anger overflowed against his inheritance. Bachurav achla esh ubetulotav lohulalu. Fire devoured the young men. The young maidens had no marriage song. There was no one left for them to marry. Kohanav bacherev nafalu. His kohanim, in this case, the sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, were killed by the sword. These were two who were abusing and desecrating the Mishkan with their practices. And when they died, Alminotav lo tipkena, their widows did not lament. Asaf's account of what actually happened provides more information and insight than the story that is told in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. For it is in this account of Asaf that we realize that the religious center that existed at Shiloh was totally destroyed. The Aron was taken into captivity by the Plishtim and then given to a family in Givah to protect. The rest of the Mishkan was moved to Nov. The two were only reunited now when Asaf is speaking, when David has them both moved to Yerushalayim. But there's another story of Bnei Ephraim that Asaf alludes to as well. Bnei Ephraim, Noshkei Romei Kashet, Havchu B'Yom Krav. The children of Ephraim, armed archers, turned back on the day of battle. Lo Shamru Brit Elokim uVetorato Me'anu LaLechet. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to follow in the ways of his Torah. What happened? The Midrash in Shmot Rabbah tells the following story. Shevet Ephraim miscalculated the amount of time Bnei Israel were supposed to be in Egypt. They were off by some 30 years. At the time they thought they were supposed to have been redeemed, they left Egypt on their own and began traveling to the land of Israel, taking the route that hugs the Mediterranean. As they crossed the land of the Plishtim, they were attacked. The Plishtim killed some 30,000 men of Shevet Ephraim, and their bones were scattered on the road. By the way, this midrash helps explain one reason why God did not select this route when the time came to lead Bnei Israel out of Egypt. Were not for this, says the Midrash in Shmot Rabbah, Shevet Ephraim, or Beit Yosef, would have been the ones to lead Bnei Israel. Let's return to our original questions. Where did the story start? With what God did for Bnei Israel in Egypt and in the desert. Where did the story end? With a rationale for why Shevet Yehuda, and specifically the family of David, are the leaders and will be the ones to oversee the building of the Beit HaMikdash. What were the points covered? The highs and lows of the relationship of Bnei Israel with God. How they tested God. How they challenged God. In Egypt, before they left, the story of Shevet Ephraim. In the desert and in the land of Israel. What is Asaf's objective? To help Bnei Israel acknowledge the responsibility of being an Am Hashem, a nation of God, and to act accordingly. To commit to living a life of Kedusha and integrity. To trust in God to do what is best for them. The only thing left is what we do with the story. The story of Asaf is still very relevant for us. We may not be actively preparing for building a Beit HaMikdash, but we can still think about improving our relationship with God and about how we should each conduct ourselves as part of an Am Hashem, about committing to a life of Kedusha and integrity, about trusting in God. May we take the lessons from Asaf's story to heart and learn from it. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.